Isaiah 53. I was reading this in the Daily Bread today, and some of the, this really, the Holy Spirit just spoke some things to me here in this, that is blessed 53rd chapter. In the third verse of Isaiah 53, he says, "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." This word grief is sickness and disease. "And we hid, as it were, our faces from him." And again, he says, "He was despised." And this is what stayed with me. "And we esteemed him not." We esteemed him not. We didn't give him the honor. We didn't give him the glory. We didn't know who he was. And when we did, we turned our backs from him. This is what the world has done, and it did. But notice what he did in regard to their attitude. "Surely he hath borne our griefs." He carried our sorrows. When even we esteemed him not, he did this. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." We did that. That he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We know he was. "But he was wounded for our transgressions, our rebellion. He was bruised for our iniquities," when all the time we esteemed him not. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." And this is what we see in this book of Hosea. "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." He was oppressed. He was treated without mercy. And he was upon the cross. "And he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought or led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." Notice the he's. In all of the attitude that man had about him, they didn't esteem him. "And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." Isn't that precious? All the time, that third verse, "we hid, as it were, our faces from him." That word "hid" there in the margin, it reads, "as one from whom men hide their face." He was despised, and we esteemed him not. They hid their faces from him. They didn't want to look on him. And we're going to read some scriptures tonight to bear this out. But that this was so precious to me this morning, that in all a man's attitude toward him, the way they treated him, they didn't think he was important. They knew who he was, but they didn't want to admit it. So let's turn now to Hosea 9. And we got down to the 8th verse. Israel here in this chapter, as we know, is the days of their visitation are come. This is speaking of the future. It speaks of their past, the time when Hosea lived, right before they were carried into captivity. But it speaks of the future also. And it's interesting, we got the paper, Israel My Glory, yesterday, I think it was, in the mail. And it was telling in this little magazine that in Israel, they were having a gay march right in the nation Israel. And the government was trying to stop it, especially the rabbis and some of them. But see, that's going on in the nation Israel today. And they don't like it. Some of them don't like it. But this is what Israel came to here in this book of Hosea. This is the way they acted before these idols. And it went on back then. It went on back in Lot's day. There's a lot went on clear back then. And we read in the book of Judges, too, which we'll mention briefly tonight. All right, in this 8th verse, "the watchman of Ephraim was with my God." This watchman is the spiritual watchman. He was in harmony with God. He was with my God, Hosea says. "But the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God." Notice the difference. "In the house of his God, those who turn from God said that the true prophet was a snare of a fowler. They also spoke this way about Jesus. Now, we just read about him in Isaiah 53. And I trust the Lord. I pray the Lord will help each one of us to center our heart and our mind upon him tonight, that we can understand the depth of the suffering that he went through, that each one of us could enjoy what we have in him tonight. Let's go over to John, the 10th chapter. John 10 and the 20th verse. This is what they thought of him. This is always among the religious Jews. The 19th verse of the 10th chapter of John says, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. That is, that he had this commandment have I received of my Father. They didn't believe. They didn't want to believe. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? See the attitude they had? The same as those back in Hosea's day, the religious people. And then in the 15th chapter of John, and the 25th verse, well, we have to begin again. In the 23rd verse, it said, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Think of this now. It wasn't just Jesus in the flesh. This is God they hated, God the Father also, because they're one. Now just think of this. When man turns from God, when they turn from Jesus, and the reason that people turn from Jesus is that the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin, and they don't want to hear that name Jesus. This is why they don't like to hear it. And then this 25th verse, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And that was in Psalm 69 in the 4th verse. That was a trespass offering psalm. They hated him without a cause. They had no reason to hate him except that he showed up their sin. Oh, thank the Lord. They have deeply, in the back in Hosea 9:9, they have deeply corrupted themselves. They have deeply done it in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity and he will visit their sins. This was in the days of Gibeah. And I'm just going to read briefly a little bit about that. It's when a Levi went, and I'm not going to go into all of it, but it's in the book of Judges, and the 19th chapter, and verses 19 and 20. You'll have to read the whole account of this to understand what went on here. But we're just going to read, and this is what, they never asked the Lord to forgive them of this. This is talking about this priest, this Levi, that turned against the Lord. And when he was coming to his house, he took a knife. His concubine had been out all night. He let her go with these people that came to the door, these men, and they just used her all night. And when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coast of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. This sin of Gibeah, this was something that they never had asked the Lord for forgiveness for. They were deeply corrupted themselves, as in the day of Gibeah. They were still in this condition. Their self-will and corruption manifested itself at Gibeah and was still rampant among them here in Hosea's day. Sin has to be thoroughly judged. Sin won't wear itself out. Sin has to be judged. We have to do it. And Jesus judged sin at Calvary. He became sin for us. So we have to judge sin. And because it's like leaven, it's only stopped by the fire of judgment, by self-judgment, as we judge ourselves by the word. And I love the truth that, and this is a truth, that every time we gather together, he's here in our midst. He's here. This Lord of glory is right here walking among the candlesticks. He's here. Oh, thank the Lord. We have to agree with God in his word. We have to do this. Self-judgment. And as we said, it doesn't die a natural death. Praise the Lord. So since they had not asked forgiveness, he says, therefore, he will remember their iniquity and he will visit their sins. Remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Their iniquities had separated them from God, and their sins, by their sins, that he had hid his face from them. And he wouldn't hear them anymore because of their sins. He had turned away from them. Oh my. And we read of this in several places. I wanted to read it over in chapter 8:13. What they did back then, it's just a picture of what's going on now. In Hosea 8:13, they sacrificed flesh for the sacrifice of mine offerings and eat it from this idol worship. But the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. And they did. They returned in bondage to Egypt. They went back to the world. In Isaiah 59, again, we'll have this, no doubt, some more out of Isaiah tonight. Isaiah 59 and the second verse. Let's start with the first verse. Wonderful scripture. These words that are written in this book just come alive when the Holy Spirit makes them real to our hearts. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy or dull or deaf, that it cannot hear. He hears everything. He knows everything. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. All of these, notice the your and the yous, they did this, and he could not look at them anymore. He had to give them up, and this is what he did. He gave them up. In this, back in Hosea, in the 10th verse, he goes back now, and he, in his love for them, he remembers. He said, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves under into that shame. And their abomination was according as they loved. Margin, it says, and they became abominable like that which they loved. And this is what man does. He becomes like that he worships. And this is God's word. These words here show his wonderful and tender love for his people. She was pleasant to him, as it is when grapes are found in the wilderness. You're in a wilderness and you find some grapes and you can eat them. This is what he did with them. She was also the first ripe in the fig tree, and these figs are fresh and sweet. This is what Israel was to the Lord when he delivered them out of Egypt, when he brought them out of that land of bondage and slavery. And he's done this to each one of us. He's brought us out of bondage to Satan, to the world and everything. We're free. He has released us from the power of the enemy, and we don't belong down here anymore. Oh, thank the Lord. After he did all that for them, but they went to Baal Peor, they became abominable like that which they loved. And I want to read over to Psalms 115 in the 8th verse. Now we wonder why the world's acting like they are today. It's because they're worshiping an idol. They're worshiping something that they've made. Psalms 115 in the 8th verse. He's talking about their idols here. I'm going to start with the 4th verse. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. What words! We become like that which we worship. Man becomes like the god of this world. Satan is the god of this world, and this is what he becomes. They become abominable to him. They're hollow. The thought here, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. The thought here is that they are hollow, they're full of vanity, and they're unprofitable. And this is what the Lord speaks about the church of Thyatira. And I want to turn over there into Revelation 2 at 2:14. Now remember, they worshipped Baal Peor. Now this is when Balak wanted Balaam to go and curse Israel. Remember, we had that in Numbers, and he couldn't curse them, but he counseled with Israel later after he's on his way back home, and he got them to commit whoredom with the women. He caused them to commit whoredom with the men of Moab. Revelation 2, and this is to the church of Thyatira. And the church of Thyatira, as we see on the map, is on the chart over there, represents the fourth rank of the church. And Thyatira means sacrifice of labor. And he walks in this church. But as we read in the first chapter of Revelation, he comes, and I want to read this first, the way that he's going to appear to these different churches, because each one he appears to in a different character. In the first chapter, let's read this first, the 13th verse, the 12th verse. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, John was had been taken by spirit to the day of the Lord, and he turned back now, and he sees this church age. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. That's his first description. And girt about with a paps with a golden girdle. That's the second. And his head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow. The fourth, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And this is how he appears to the Thyatira church. They are a church. They're believers in there, but they're not walking. They committed fornication. Let's go read over here about them. He says, I, in the 19th verse of the second chapter, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This is what the world's doing today, the church, the worldly church. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. She'll go all the way through the tribulation, these saints. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I've got the meaning of this word reins here down a little later on down. We'll have to find it later. He searches the reins and the hearts, and their hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. There were some that weren't as these others, but God separated them. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for this word. Oh, praise the Lord. Israel here in Hosea, they separated themselves in the 10th verse. They went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto their shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. They separated themselves unto this. In Ezekiel 14, they separated themselves. Let's go over there and read this one too. There's so many scriptures on this time during Israel's disobedience that we wanted to include as many as we could. Ezekiel 14 and verses 6 to 8. Praise the Lord. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived or enticed when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people. And we could go on and read that. Oh, this word is full of scriptures like this. The warnings that he gives to the people of Israel. The 11th verse of Hosea says, as for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth, from the womb, and from the conception. Remember, these are the 10 tribes that he's speaking to here, first of all, the 10 tribes. Their glory shall fly away like a bird. Ephraim, as we should know and by now, that Ephraim means fruitfulness. But they would not bring glory to God because their glory shall perish. And it will perish in these three stages, from the birth, from the womb, and from the conception. All of these, God would destroy their fruitfulness. And they got down to a place where there were very, very few of these nations left when they were carried into captivity. This compares also to the threefold stages of the failure of the crops in the 8th chapter and the 7th verse. As we read over there in 8:7, the bud shall yield no meal. Let's start at the beginning of the verse. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, and the bud shall yield no meal. That's the second. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. And this is what the threefold. Israel is swallowed up. Now they shall be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. That's the three stages there also. Oh, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. No fruitage. If we don't yield to the Lord, we can't bear fruit. If we don't obey the Lord, we can't bear fruit. It goes hand in hand. And I thank the Lord that he puts this love in our hearts for him, that we want to obey him. In this 12th verse now, he says, though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ungodly Israel wanted God to depart from them. They wanted him to leave them alone. Do you ever hear people today about this? They don't want to hear you talk about the Lord. In Matthew 8:34, they did in Jesus' day. Thank the Lord. Matthew 8:34. There's so much in the Gospels regarding the Pharisees and the religious people that fought Jesus. And this is one of them that just really speaks to our heart. This is when that herd of swine and the demons came out of the swine and the swine went it came out of the man and the demons went into the swine and the swine went into the sea, and the man lost all of his swine. The 33rd verse says, and they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. What do you think the world would do today if he came down here? The same thing. They would reject him. They would want him to depart. They don't want him in this world. It's the very same thing. This is why today, when we read scriptures of the rejection of Jesus, and when we give these truths out, it goes clear to the bottom of our hearts, because we know what these people are going to have to endure in the future. It's going to be terrible. Ungodly Israel didn't want him around. And God would cause them to be childless, and he can. He can cause them to be childless. In the 13th verse here in Hosea, he says, Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Now, dear ones, I think this is why this is heavy on my heart tonight, because these things are happening today. This isn't future. This is happening today. I want to go to Revelation 24 and 25, which speaks of the tribulation days. Every dispensation had an overlapping, as the chart will show us. And we're in that overlapping time now, from the church age to the kingdom age. And these things are beginning to happen now. If you read some of the things that we get in our farm papers, how they are controlling everything on the farm today. You cannot plow up your pasture unless you ask permission. Now, these are some of the things that are being the laws that they have in enforced today. You cannot do this. There are different things that they have come out with now that you cannot do unless you ask permission. This government, we are being ruled by the government today. There's a lot of things we could say concerning this. But this, chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew, tell us of the tribulation days. And I want to start in chapter 24 and the 14th verse. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. This is now the beginning of the tribulation. For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them, this is believing Israel, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. They won't have time to get. Now notice what we're reading. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And this 23rd verse made us think of a news thing we heard the other day. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. There is a sect that it's in Afghanistan, that was hiding, and they were going to come out and fight the Afghanistan soldiers and the UN soldiers that were there. And they wanted to come out because they had their Messiah. Now, this is what we're talking about now. These things are coming. They had their own Messiah that they wanted to bring forth, and they didn't get it done. But this is what's coming. It's here now. This is here now. Everybody's got their own Messiah. But this 19th verse is the one that we really had in mind in this. That the whole 24th and 25th chapters are good. Oh, thank the Lord. Let's read the 14th verse now of Hosea 9. Hosea says, give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breast. Because of Israel's wickedness, God is going to judge them, and the Lord here prays that they have no children. Hosea prays here. Don't let them have children. Don't let them. I don't know how many of you heard the other day about somebody that had a baby back east, newborn, and they put that baby on the church steps and left. Someone found it. But these things are going on today. They used to put them in trash baskets, in alleys and things, and people would find them. These young women that have babies, and they don't want them, there's a lot of them. And they'll do anything with them to get rid of them. And they're doing it because they know what's coming. Some of them because they don't want to be found out too. But this 15th verse in Hosea 9, all their wickedness is in Gilgal. For there I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Now Gilgal was where they came when they first crossed over into Jordan. That's where they kept the Passover, the first time in the land of Canaan. And that's where the reproach of Egypt was rolled away. was rolled away. They had no more any connection with Egypt at that time. It was rolled away, the reproach. And they camped there. And that's where they kept the Passover. And here also in Gilgal is where Samuel was the judge. And here's that is where Saul was made king. These are some of the things that happened there. Now it was a place of idol worship at Gilgal. In the 12th chapter and the 11th verse, is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the field. And we'll get to the meaning of all of that as we go on. They sacrificed their idol worship in Gilgal. And I think that the Lord is speaking to me on this, regarding this, because there's so many among the so-called churches today. They're not worshiping the Lord. They're not teaching the word. They're there for other reasons, for social or whatever it may be. But they're not giving out the word. This word, when we begin to teach the scriptures regarding judgment, it puts a weight upon the heart of the one that gives it out. Because we can see these things that are coming, and we know that many of God's people that we know are going to go through these things. We know it, and we don't want them to. But yet it's coming. No man can stop this. And this is what went on back there is being fulfilled even today over in Israel. That government over there is weak today, very weak. The words here in this 15th verse, I hated them, shows his great displeasure with them. He would love them no more. This would be a national judgment. Individuals in the land of Israel, among the people of Israel, and they're called out today and they accept the Lord as their Savior, they're in the church. Jew or Gentile, they become in the church. They're part of the heavenly people. In fact, the 144,000 are those that will be all of Israel. They're the third rank of the church, and they will be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit during this age. And thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. He will love individuals, and then after the 7 years of their chastisement, he's going to take Israel back again. Over in the 14th chapter, this is what I love. That's why I'll be glad when we get to these scriptures. 14 and the 4th verse, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. And we won't read any more of that now, but we'll get to that just not too far away if the Lord tarries. This nation Israel has got to go through a lot before they turn to the Lord. And so does this world. This world, this nation here is going to go through a lot before they turn to the Lord. They're going to be judged by God. I love this last part of this 15th verse. I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters, revolting against the Lord. And we see this everywhere today. 16th, Ephraim is smitten, and their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. And this is what we read of in several places in the prophetic scriptures. When these nations begin to come down upon the nation Israel, which they're going to do shortly, whoever they find in the fields, and women over there will be working in the fields, and they will just slay them right away. When they come down, that land's going to be a slaughter place. But that remnant, as we read there, they're going to flee in Matthew 24. They're going to flee. The Lord's going to tell them, don't go back and get anything. Run. And they're going to run. They're going to run to a place of safety, that remnant. It's going to be a terrible time. A dried up root has no promise of fruit, and Israel was scattered like wanderers among the nations. And that's just like Cain. Remember when Cain was judged by God? Let's go over there and read Genesis 4 and the 12th verse. Cain, who didn't bring the blood offering, he brought of the fruit of the ground, and then he killed Abel. 4 and the 12th verse. Well, let's start up above. in the ninth verse, the Lord asked Cain after he kills his, this was the first killing in Scripture, killed his own brother. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. He lied right there. Am I my brother's keeper? He was a murderer. He was a liar. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cry unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed, or abhorred, from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, a fugitive, a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. This is, vagabond is one who never stays any place. And that's the way that this, that the 12 tribes of Ishmael are. They don't stay any place. They're wandering all over that desert today. And this is the way it came. All over the earth, they were scattered. And the whole reason is because they did not hearken unto him. This is the reason here. They did not hearken unto the Lord. I will drive them out. I will drive them out. Let's turn over to Romans, if we will. Romans 11. Trust the Lord to put this all together for you folks tonight. Sometimes we give out the word, and we know that we have an enemy who doesn't want this word given out. Romans 11 and the 18th verse. This is the future of Israel. This 11th chapter tells the Gentiles here in the 18th verse, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. Unbelief is what caused God to cut Israel off, that we could come in as Gentiles. So God says, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Speaking of Israel there. Israel is going to learn by being disciplined. This is how we learned. Because Israel at this time despised the word of the Lord. They didn't want to hear it. In Hosea's day, as we read up above there, they said the prophet is a fool and the spiritual man is mad. They didn't want to listen to them anymore. They said he's a fool. So God is going to discipline the nation Israel during the 7 years of tribulation. And it's going to begin very soon. God has given to us, to the church today, to all of us that are in the church, truths of a much higher privilege than Israel had as a nation. Israel as a nation is an earthly people. We in the church are heavenly people. We have a wonderful privilege of being in the bride. We have the wonderful privilege of reigning with Christ. When he came forth from that grave, he carried us right up there with him. He took us up in the glory, and that's where we're seated today. We're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord. I praise the Lord for these truths. Thank the Lord. We have a much higher privilege than the nation Israel. Individuals out of that nation, yes, they will come and they will yield to God. They will be in the church. Some will be in the bridal company. We know some of in the past years out of Israel that have yielded to God, and we don't know if they're going to be in the bridal company. That's something that the Lord knows. In that scripture that we read in Revelation 2 regarding when he says, I am he that searches the reins and the hearts. This word reins, it means the inmost thoughts and feelings and purpose of the soul. He searches this. the inmost thoughts and the feelings and the purpose of the soul. He knows what's down there. He searches it. And as he walks in the midst of these seven golden candlesticks, he walks as the judge. He walks as the judge. And as we are sitting here tonight, he's walking in our midst. And this word, as the Lord enables us to give it out, it's his word, and it's living and it's powerful. And the Lord will take what we need as individuals and work it in our lives. Oh, I thank him for these truths. Praise the Lord. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to walk with the Lord. God had to drive Ephraim out of mine house, as we read there in this 15th verse of Hosea 9. I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. They were driven out because of their wickedness. They had been and still are unfaithful to their husband. Their husband is God. They're not listening to him. They're not believing him when he sent his son down here. They don't believe that. They don't believe it. And the more Israel enjoyed material prosperity, the more they ran after their idols. Now, what's going on in this nation today? They're materially prosperous, but they're not turning to the Lord. And this is what we see today in this country. They're still unfaithful to their husband. But he's sitting up there in the glory. And this is what I love about the Lord. When he gives us a vision of himself and these truths, and we know that we're seated right there with him, and he's sitting there and he's just waiting, watching every move that's going on in this world. And he's not interfering today with the nation Israel. He knows what they're doing, but he's not interfering with them. One of these days he will. He has a set time, and when he sends his son to catch away that bridal company, then's when he's going to start dealing again with the nation Israel. And individuals, yes, are coming out of that nation, but as a nation, he's going to begin to interfere with them at that time. He will speak to them in that 14th chapter. Let's read this in Hosea. This is a precious chapter. This is when he restores it. We'll go into detail, but it's a short chapter. We'd just like to read it tonight. He says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. This is the condition they're in today. Take with you words, or reality of words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Horses speak of natural strength, which they're going to use. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. They're going to smell sweet to the Lord. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him. I have observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Oh, that's going to be a precious day. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, praise the Lord, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. It's quite a chapter. But I'd like to close by, I think we read that, let's read that 17th chapter, in the 17th verse in Hosea 9. He says, my God will cast them away because they will not hearken, or did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wonders among the nations. Wonders among the nations. I think it was in this paper that we saw, wasn't it, a girl that was a black Jewish girl. We'll have to bring that. She was Jewish, And they went to Israel, and she was surprised to find white Jewish people in the land of Israel. This is what we're seeing in some of these Jewish papers. It was good. There are black Jewish people all over the world, all over the world. In Romans 1, I think most of you know I have some cousins that are half Jewish. Romans 1, their father was a Jew, and he turned to the Lord, and his whole family forsook him. This is what they did, and that's why the Jews didn't want to be baptized back in Jesus' day. It would be an open testimony that they'd accepted Jesus. Romans 1, and I want to start with the 21st verse. There's much in this chapter we could read, but I just want to read a bit. This is what is so sad to me today, because man is going to be without excuse when these judgments begin to fall upon the world. They're going to be without excuse, and this is what these scriptures tell us here. The 20th verse says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." That is, the idolaters are without excuse. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." How many today are thankful? I know that when we eat out, very few, in fact, sometimes we're the only ones that bow our head and thanks, give thanks for the food that we're about to eat. "Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image or an icon, that worshiping themselves, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts." This is the bodily, the body now. He's giving the body over to the lust of their own hearts, "to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections," it's his shameful passions, "and for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet." This is why we have AIDS today, all over the world. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." In verse 26, he gave them up their soul. First the body in verse 24. In verse 26 is the soul that he gave up. And then in this 28th verse, "They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind." This speaks of the spirit. "To do those things which are not convenient or right, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness," which means deceitfulness, "everywhere, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity." Malignity grows in everything that's evil and is growing today. "Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful and proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, they cannot be moved, they're unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." This is the state of the world today. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Isn't that sad? This is why the world's in the condition that's in today. That's why we see this. And that's what the condition Israel came into. This very condition. And it's all every place out in the world. Praise the Lord. All right. Are there any thoughts or questions tonight on this?